Hello, and welcome back to the BenHeck.com podcast. I'm your host, Ben Heck.
And I am Jones.
So yeah, well, we were thinking about talking about it in today's episode, because you went and saw Justice League, because you're a DC fanboy.
Because I'm me, yes.
And then what was your comment about it?
I said that if that had a Marvel logo on the front of it, it would be like at least 80% on Rotten Tomatoes.
So I have not seen the film, but at work, Karen expressed a very similar statement. She was like, Justice League was not bad, and also Thor wasn't that great.
Ah, see, I haven't seen Thor yet.
Max also said Thor was underwhelming. I didn't give a flying fuck about seeing it.
That's the thing, like, I'm one of the weird people that I would put the Thor movies at the higher end of the Marvel universe or whatever for the ones I like, but... Yeah. I haven't had a burning desire to see the new one, even though I liked the first two.
I saw the first one on a plane, but I have seen it. And the second one I did not see. Is it worth seeing?
A lot of people place it at the bottom of Marvel, but I liked it quite a bit. It's fun because it's like Thor and Loki have to kind of like team up. It's this weird kind of like buddy movie almost with them.
Right.
So I don't know. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, it is kind of bad that Justice League opened fairly low.
Yeah, pretty poorly. Yeah.
And I mean, if you notice, since Batman v Superman, every Warner movie has opened lower and lower. Right. I mean, Wonder Woman was a good movie, so it actually had great holding power, but
yes,
it opened like $30 million less than Suicide Squad, which is a travesty because
yeah.
Suicide Squad is god awful.
Did you see that?
I did. I watched it on
yeah,
before I canceled my HBO, because I kept HBO for a couple months after Thrones was over. You know,
okay.
They had it and I watched it. You know, it wasn't like, I wouldn't say that was a bad movie. Well, it was a bad movie. It wasn't, you know, it like didn't rape my childhood or anything. But it was so pointless, and there's no plot. The plot is the bad guys walk down the street toward a building with a beam coming out of it,
and then for some reason it's like Viola Davis or whatever is who they're trying to rescue. It's just so stupid,
right? And half the movie is just like flashbacks and character, I don't want to say development, just, you know, flashbacks and stuff, but the actual plot is just basically them walking down a street.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
And that's the thing that really sucked about it. Like, again, you know, they could have made like a cheap, good movie only about Harley Quinn and Joker in like the mental institute.
Yeah, and like some of the stuff that they're talking about doing now, because that's one of the things that's out there, is people are referring to it as the Mad Love movie or whatever, because that's what the comic is. And it's like,
because apparently Margot Robbie was amazing in that movie.
She was amazing, but I mean, she definitely stood out, and you could see why, you know, she kind of broke out of that movie. Like, for me, her and Will Smith, yeah.
No, I was just thinking, I watched Valerian in the City of a Thousand Planets, and all
yeah.
I could think the whole time was, I could think of Enchantress, where she's just always, like, undulating, you know, because it's the same actress. And
yeah, Cara Delevingne or whatever, yeah.
But it's like she's the character in a video game where she just has, like, this repeating motion of, like, undulating her stomach.
Yeah, it's like I've said on here before, like, to me, Suicide Squad, it's like all the flashback stuff they show, all of those would have been more interesting movies to make than what they ultimately gave us.
Well, because there's no plot in the actual movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's and what's her face, Viola Davis, she's the villain.
Yeah.
And it's like well, and, you know, they were solving their own problem. It's like, the problem is you hired this Enchantress woman to be in your Suicide Squad, and then you had to use the rest of the Suicide Squad to stop her.
Yeah.
So it's a plot. I don't think self-defeating is the right way to put it, but it just feels pointless. And I think that's the problem I have with most of these modern superhero movies, is you don't see Batman, you know, picking up a purse snatcher and holding him over a cliff,
yeah.
You know, or like punching a baby kidnapper. It's all aliens and CGI. Isn't that also in Justice League?
Yes, yeah, which that's, to me, that's the weak part of it, is like the villain and kind of like the, you know, the main, his motivations or whatever are just You know, they're like run-of-the-mill bullshit you've seen a million times, and they don't really even bother to really develop it much because I think they know it's like, eh, whatever. I think, well, the thing that with Suicide Squad 2, before we move on, that was a problem with that is that, like, the premise of it is stupid. Because the whole premise is just like, oh, we need to get a bunch of these, like, bad guy, here, like, villainy people to, like, combat Superman if Superman went bad or something. But, like, half of them are just, like, criminals.
Worthless.
Well, they're they don't have superpowers. Like Margot Robbie, you know, Harley Quinn, she's like crazy and runs around with a baseball bat.
Yeah, she's worthless. You know? Boomerang guy is worthless. Yep. Man who can climb everything is worthless. I mean, really, all you need is the fire
Diablo
guy didn't want to.
Guy.
Yeah, but he didn't want to kill anyone at first.
Exactly.
But yeah, you have fire guy, Will Smith, and
he's just got really good aim.
And then with that part with. I think we've watched it at work a million times. A part where they introduce Katana, it's so stupid. But she's not, she's not a criminal. She's like a good person.
Yeah. And then, like, the Joker is useless.
like, she can cut through all of you just like mowing the lawn.
Cause I'm just sitting there, I'm like looking at this ragtag band of people. I'm like, Superman wouldn't even have to, like, barely lift a finger to, like, take all these idiots out, you know?
Pretty much.
But
the only one that would be able to, again, like, Enchantress could maybe do something to him.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
What was her name? Her name was June Moon. It's like, maybe you should change the names from the comics sometimes. You know how, like, nowadays, you know, like how the Lord of the Rings, it was controversial because they removed Tom Babadil.
Yes.
And nowadays that would never happen. And you see it like with The Hobbit, where it's like all 13 fucking dwarves have to be in it. So,
well, actually, he was in The Hobbit, and they took him out, wasn't it? Or wait, no, yeah, you're right. It was Lord of the Rings. Yeah, you're right. Or wait, no, what? I can't remember. It all fucking bleeds together.
Well, I'm just saying, just from the time you went from Lord of the Rings to Hobbit, movies based off books have become so literal that you couldn't just... Well, I guess you can invent characters as long as they look like Evangeline Lilly. But, you know,
helps.
Like... Why did you need all 13 hobbits? You know, they just leave in everything and they never change anything.
Well, they were dwarves, but...
Like, I honestly think, like, Lord of the Rings, they should have changed either Sauron or Saruman's name because they sound the same.
Yeah, it's... At least in the movie, it works pretty well, I thought. But, like, reading the books, it was definitely confusing. I remember,
well, in the
like,
movie,
way back.
In the movie, they're always referring to him as the enemy or the villain or the enemy. They don't say Saruman very much. Wait, which one's which?
Sauron's the eye, and then Saruman is Christopher Lee.
Right. Because he asks, he's like, whom do you serve? Saruman.
Yep.
So,
that's
yeah, justice.
You can sit there and watch it and be like, oh, okay, Saruman's Christopher Lee. Okay, fine. You know, in the book,
and
you can't do that.
The enemy. Okay, so... do you think there is Marvel bias in reviewers?
Oh, yeah, I think so. Because, I mean, like, I'm not saying, like, Justice League would be worthy of an 80%. Like, I don't think it's, like, great necessarily or anything. I mean, I think it's certainly, especially considering its tortured production, turned out far better probably than it had any right to.
Like Men in Black 3. Oh,
I haven't seen, but
Men in Black 3 is probably a walk in the park compared to Justice League.
Because, like, Justice League, like, it's like the rare movie where I think it could have stood to have 20 minutes more in it.
Cause... Yeah, it seems like a lot of people... I'm surprised they cut it that short. I mean,
I think the studio mandated that it had to be under 2 hours.
I think Warner's was probably worried about its box office potential, so... They made it shorter just to get more showings in. They also opened it worldwide on the same weekend, like every country at once.
Yeah, I think Japan was the only one that went a week later or something. But yeah, cause, I mean, it's like, to me, the stuff that works really well.
And it hasn't
really
held up very well. I mean, like, what did, like, 16 million this last weekend?
Yeah.
Of course, also, Coco didn't hold up very well either. But,
yeah, not really. They're saying it's probably going to end up somewhere between 650 and 700, like, globally, which, I mean, given its launch number was probably about a best-case scenario, sadly.
Yeah, that's... honestly, I think they're going to lose money at that because.
Yeah, I think they will too.
There is no way they spent less than $300 million on that movie. It's like, you can't.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of stuff online. Like, there was an article on Forbes where they were, you know, basing. And it was a dude that worked in the industry.
Oh, yeah, I think I read that.
And he was, you know, basing his figures off of the $300 million number. And so he was like, you know, probably for them to break even on this thing, knowing what we know, and with these best guesses, it would probably have to be like $750 million for them to be able to even maybe break even. So, I mean, it's going to lose money, but then you think about it, gets on home video and shit. And, you know, they'll end up making money in the long term, but
probably, I mean, eventually.
But I mean,
the home video isn't what it used to be.
But I mean, obviously, when you're making movies like Justice League and stuff, you know, you're thinking you're going to be making $1 billion or more, which you know, they haven't done with this or Batman v Superman. But
they just spent too much money on it. They should have, they should have actually had a good script, you know, or what they really should have done is delayed it, you know, instead of like reworking it as they shot it. I guess for those that don't know the backstory, so Batman v Superman came out like what, March 2016?
Yep. And they were moving right into production on Justice League, like right when it was coming out. So
Justice League started filming like a week or two later. So it was already set up, and that's just filming. So that means it had already been written, storyboarded, you know, produced. All the sets have been built. So basically, they started making Justice League in the same, I guess, the same vein as Batman v Superman. But then people reacted so poorly to Batman v Superman, they were course corrected and changing Justice League as they were shooting it.
So
the rumor is it's basically been shot like at least twice.
And then what happened? What happened earlier this year is Zack Snyder's, he had already brought Joss Whedon in to kind of help with the script a bit and stuff. And then his daughter
Work on the script before the movie's filmed, not after.
Well, that's where this course correcting shit came in, but then Zack Snyder's daughter committed suicide, so then he left the production. So then basically the studio gave the movie to Whedon and said, "Finish it," basically. And so then they did all these reshoots over the summer. So that's where the stuff with Henry Cavill's mustache came into play and stuff, because he was off filming the new Mission Impossible. And
it sounds like, did you read the other article where Warner's offered to pay Paramount to put hair onto his character?
Yes,
because it would be cheaper and easier than taking hair off.
Yep.
But of course, I'm sure Paramount's like, fuck you.
Yeah, pretty much. They said it was just, you know, it basically came down to inner studio political bullshit or whatever. Because,
well, why wouldn't you torpedo your competition if you have the chance?
Yeah, pretty much. So, but the thing is, like, I watched that movie and, you know, I saw all these people online talking about that, and I'm like, it didn't even cross my mind watching it, like, because there's all these people talking about like how his lip looks funny and stuff, and I'm like, maybe if I sat there and scrutinized that shit, but it didn't even cross my mind watching it. But it's like, I really hope, well, and one other thing with Justice League, apparently, which, I mean, this is all, you know, behind the scenes shit that, you know, is coming out through sources and whatever, but supposedly the reason they didn't move the release date, there were a couple of reasons. One was this AT&T potential
merger
of Time Warner or whatever. And then also there were executives at Time Warner that wanted to get their end of year bonuses or some shit, and so it kind of hinged on this movie or whatever.
But
so
I don't think this movie is going to be seen as the right decision.
No. Mm-hmm. I mean, because that's the thing, you look at all the trouble it had, and it's like, yeah, they would have been better off just pumping the brakes, bringing it out like next April or something, you know, and taking the time to get it more right. Because the thing
is, it's really, I mean, everyone loved Wonder Woman and she was in this movie, and it still didn't open that well, and it's falling off like a rock. So that's, I don't know. I also think it's almost like too quick. Like, remember Warner Brothers also, you know, history is repeating itself over and over. They released, remember they had two Matrix movies in 1 year?
Two Matrix movies, yep.
And nobody went to the second one.
Well, and part of the thing, too, is, I mean, you look, You know, like, you look at the marketing for this one. I mean, they obviously pumped Wonder Woman up more in the ads after Wonder Woman was successful, but you look at the posters for it and stuff, and it's like, what is it? It's like this black background with the five characters' faces, you know, popping out of it. Where, you know, you look at, like, the Wonder Woman posters, it's all very colorful, very vibrant. You know, it looks very heroic and everything, and, you know, I think there's something to that, and...
I think that the setting too is a big part of it. Like, yeah. I think people just found World War One to be refreshing. I mean, look at Call of Duty. Like, you have Call of Duty in space and everyone hates it. Then they put it back in World War Two and they hate it less. Right.
Yeah.
And you know, it feels like a different time, like a different world. And I think you had that in Wonder Woman. It's like, mm-hmm. she wasn't punching aside from the ending. And then look at it. Everyone says the worst part is the ending. And the rest of the time, it's like, yeah, she's punching Germans. She's flipping over tanks. I've seen – that's a person. That's a tank. That's a soldier. I've seen all that before.
Yeah,
that's much more accessible than, like, hornet monsters.
Yeah, she's saving people. She's doing heroic deeds. You know, like, those are the things that resonate with people, you know. And the thing is, that movie takes the time to, like, breathe a bit around things. You know,
well, it's only about one character.
Yeah, it's about one character, and it also doesn't have, like, this, you know, overwrought – storyline, really. You know, it's fairly straightforward, and
yeah,
but it's like Justice League, I really hope they don't do anything drastic, and I hope they, I mean, they're gonna have to tweak some things here and there, but I really hope they stay the course a bit longer, because in Justice League, if people would just give it a chance, they do all sorts of stuff that people have been begging for, like the
Here's a question. So you liked Batman v Superman.
Yes, but I can recognize why people hate that movie. I can at least
I've heard it said that some people are saying that Justice League course corrects some things so much that it might piss off people that liked the direction they were going in. So how did you feel? Did you feel some of it was too much?
No, not really. But I mean, I've seen that online where there's all sorts of people, you know, clamoring for the, you know, Zack Snyder 3-hour cut, which I would love to see.
It'll never happen.
Yeah, it'll never happen, but I would love to see it.
Well, it might happen in 30 years. Of course, have you seen the Richard Donner Superman 2 cut?
No, I never bothered, but it's...
I thought it was inferior to the one they released.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, like, but the thing is, like, in Justice League, like, the stuff they do, and I mean, I could definitely see where it would irritate, you know, the really hardcore people that love the dark shit or whatever, you know, like, because it's, you know, there's always this, you know, the world's fate is in balance thing behind everything, but really it pulls the characters to the forefront more, and they have really great interaction between them all. And, like, the Flash is great in it. I really hope they do end up making a Flash movie. Aquaman's fun. So I'm actually looking forward to the Aquaman movie now, where before seeing this, I was kind of like, well, I'll see it. But now it's kind of like, yeah, that should be fun, you know? And
it's almost like we don't even need a standalone Batman movie. You know how they want to, like,
you don't.
A trilogy. It's like, goddamn, how many Batman movies do we need?
Yeah, it's like, I mean, basically Batman's going into Spider-Man land, you know, like, they're not giving it any time to breathe between, you know, switching actors and stuff. And but I'll just spoil shit, because it's like, whatever, you probably don't care, like with Justice League.
I'll probably watch it on video, but yeah, I don't care.
Okay, so, like, I mean, you can definitely see, like, Whedon's fingerprints on it, because there's a lot of, like, humor in it, which is quite good. But, you know, like I say, they give people the things they've been wanting. You know, they wanted it to be a bit lighter, supposedly. So there's, like, all this comedic interaction. Some of it's maybe a little too far, but, you know, whatever. You let it fly. But like...
Is it obvious when the Whedon scenes pop up?
See, I didn't really see that much. Like, I mean, his fingerprints are definitely on it, but there are all these people complaining online about how the tone shifts constantly. I personally didn't really see that very much at all.
Okay.
You know, it's like the actions, you know, more Snyder-y action for the most part. And but like a lot, there's a ton of like character stuff in it. And to me, it's kind of impressive how much ground they managed to cover and keep it fairly coherent within 2 hours, just given the sheer wealth of characters that they have to explore. Because I mean, they have
Does Amy Adams have anything to do in it?
She's in it a bit. She plays a key part in one scene, which makes sense.
Amy Adams, aka Arrival. That's her new name.
And but they but like they got to set up Cyborg, which he turned out to be surprisingly interesting. Like now I'm kind of like, I'd like to see more of him. Flash, they set up well. Aquaman, they set up well. you know, they give you a little taste of this stuff. But then
that's like three new characters to set up.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, that's where I think it could have used like 20 more minutes. Cause they could have maybe done just a little bit more in those areas and let it breathe a little more and then maybe done a little more with the villain. But the big thing that so many people have complained about, even though I haven't had a problem with it, like I love Henry Cavill's Superman. But like the Superman you get in this movie, because spoilers, he comes back. Big shock.
I can't believe it.
But he's like the Superman people, when you see people bitching online, he's the Superman they've been clamoring for. Like he's smiling, he's kind of joking with people, he's got this playful nature, he's saving people.
Well, he's probably happy to be back alive.
Yeah, yeah. And there's really great interaction between him and the Flash, which is fun. Because there's like a scene toward the end where like all hell's breaking loose and they send the Flash off to try to like get people out of this town and save them and all that. So he buzzes off. And then some stuff goes on back with like the Steppenwolf fight, because Steppenwolf's the bad guy. And then Superman takes off to go help save people, too. And then it cuts to, like, Flash, and he's in, like, his Speed Force whatever thing, which the effects with that were pretty cool. And Superman, like, flies up next to him and then holds pace with him. And he just kind of makes some joke about, like, you know, is that all the faster you can go, kind of. And, you know, and then they kind of joke back and forth a little. And then they're kind of like, well, hey, let's split up and, you know, let's save some people, whatever. And so he's like, you go left, I'll go right. And so then the Flash catches up to like this pickup truck with this family you've been seeing throughout the movie a little bit. And he helps, you know, he's pushing them to safety. And then he hears something and he looks off to his right. And you see this entire apartment building floating through the air. And then you see Superman, of course, underneath it, like carrying, you know, an entire apartment building of people to safety. And you know, there's just like cool stuff like that. And then the like the mid-credit sequence is good. It's like Superman and the Flash, they're probably out in the middle of Kansas or something, and the Flash I think makes a comment like, you know, hey, do you want to race to the coast or whatever? And Superman's like, well, which one? And Flash is like, well, I've always wanted to see the Pacific Ocean. And so Superman's like, all right, fine, west then. And so there's like kind of this running joke in the movie that the Flash doesn't tell directions very well. So, of course, he faces east. And so Superman kind of looks at him and then, you know, nods his head and kind of points the other way. And then, you know, they turn around and then they both like blast off toward the camera. And then it, you know, cuts back to the credits. And so, I mean, there's like all that sort of stuff where I think they've course corrected the way they need to. So that's where I really hope they don't, like, abandon Superman. I hope they still end up making, like, another Man of Steel movie and, you know, stick... I mean, Aquaman's already in the can, so that's coming out. And but it's... like we've complained about before, though, it's like these studios gotta stop dumping, like, $250 million into fucking movies. It's like, you look at the Warner, like, DC movies, Wonder Woman's, like, the cheapest one they've made. And it's like,
yeah.
And it's like the most
they didn't spend a year, just short of Batman v Superman. They didn't spend a year reshooting it either.
Yeah, you know, it's like they spent like 140, 150 million on that, and it made over 800 million worldwide. And the studio didn't really dick with it.
I think it just comes back comes back to the scripts. I mean, again, I've said many times that I think Act 3 of Wonder Woman is fairly weak. But overall, it was, you know, it was quite solid. You know, the story was told in a straightforward way. And I think it also had a good emotional core with her and what's Chris his
Pine.
Face?
Yeah.
See, like, for, I still don't think, I don't think she's a good actress. She's basically Arnold Schwarzenegger. Like, she's physically a good performer, but you can't understand what she's saying, right?
I don't know. I understand her just fine. But
yeah, her accent's a bit thick. You know, it's like, I get through the choppa. I think Chris Pine's performance in that movie is underappreciated.
He's really good in it. I mean, he's good in like everything I've seen him in. I think he's just underappreciated in general.
Yeah, that makes sense. But I'm just saying, so there was a good emotional core. And I mean, if you think about it, like, I was watching the 2008 Hulk, right?
Oh yeah,
the one that's part of the MCU, but it's not part of the MCU. It doesn't like count, I guess. Or
yeah, even though Downey shows up in it. And
but there's a lot of things in it that don't feel like a Marvel movie. It really struck a chord. Like
they hadn't figured out the formula yet at that point. So.
Yeah. Like there's a part where you know, he finds his old girlfriend Liv Tyler, you know.
Yeah.
And they're laying on the bed and you know, they start making out, and then he is worried that she, you know, because she has a boyfriend. She's like, no, I want to sleep with you. Like they say that, and that kind of stuff is like completely missing. Like the Marvel movies have become completely sexless.
Yeah, there's just none of that. Yeah,
like in Wonder Woman, where it's like, oh, you know, he goes into a room and like, you know, he goes out the door because he's being like polite, but then he comes back in, and then they imply that, you know,
yep, just fades to black and yep.
But you don't even see that a lot in movies, like, you know, like, oh, here's the two characters and now they're gonna fuck, you know, like that's missing. Like you have these just cold, sterile movies. And like the thing I like to say is like they make all these movies about family, but nobody ever fucks in them to create a family in the first place.
Yeah, it's pretty true. Yep.
Like, is there gonna be a love interest in the new Star Wars? I guess like Finn and what's his face,
maybe. Yeah,
that's the rumor.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's.
Which is fine, but I mean, it's like, you know, whatever. But
well, it's less mainstream, but yeah. But you see what I'm saying? Like,
oh yeah, I think I agree.
There's quite often it's lacking an emotional core, and I think that's why, you know, Pixar movies and things like that, you know, they are all about their emotional core, whereas the rest of these movies are just about spectacle.
Well, yeah, like you look at Burton's Batman, you know, there's like the part where Alfred, you know, brings Vicki Vale into the Batcave and, you know, like,
oh yeah,
Bruce and her have this, and they end up, there's scenes where it's very obvious they've been together, you know, and fucked. So, you know, it's like they don't
I love that scene, like, at the next morning, it's like, she's all peppy and then he's like really tired and he's like, yeah, sure, yeah, we can get together later. And yeah. I don't know, it just kind of felt realistic, like he was really tired. And yeah, and then she's like, I can't believe I slept with you, like when he's being a jerk. And
yeah. But then, like,
so I guess what I'm saying is, like, bring the fucking back.
Well, yeah, just make it more believable, I guess. Like, I mean, like, you know, you watch, you know, like the Marvel movies and stuff. It's like you've got, like, you know, Black Widow running around and, you know, like,
oh, then,
Captain America,
well, she was like,
and stuff. And, you know, it's like, what, Captain America can't fuck Black Widow? Like, why not? You know, like.
No, Black Widow, she likes the Hulk, remember?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they do kind of try to push that a little, but.
Yeah, I remember, like, in the second movie.
That's right.
Like, she helped calm them down. So they kind of implied they're having a relationship.
Yeah.
That was. Actually, I didn't actually
watch
it.
That stuff was good. Yeah.
I saw the second half of it without audio on a plane, but I was surprised they brought Gwyneth Paltrow back for Spider-Man Homecoming. I would not have expected that.
Yep. Yeah.
You know how
they showed up in all that Marvel stuff. Yep.
But I didn't hear the sound, so I cannot judge the movie. It looked a little dark though, but that might have been the monitor.
Yeah. It's fine. It's nothing amazing, but it's
Michael
fine.
Keaton had a really cool jacket.
That was another movie where, like, see, that one, you know, got blessed by the critics and stuff, but to me, like, the villain and his, like, motivation in that is just ridiculous. Like the way it's set up, there's just nothing done to really justify it.
And I saw the scene again. It was silent, but it was the part where the fairy gets cut in half. You know?
Yes. Yep. And Iron Man shows up. Yep.
And I was watching it, and I'm like, okay, so it's cut in half because this gun is somehow makes a beam that goes 180 degrees down the center, and then I'm like, what? And then they put it back together, and it doesn't sink. I'm like,
yeah.
I thought it was really stupid.
Oh, yeah. It was. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I don't know.
Well, you know me. I'm a diehard Raimi fan, so I would like to see the new Spider-Man sometime, but I have a feeling it's probably not as good as everyone says because it's Marvel.
Yeah, it's
which I guess
not.
Goes back to Marvel bias.
I mean, it's worth seeing, you know, but it's like, yeah, it's like to me, it's not really a big leap over like the Andrew Garfield ones or anything. But just the last thing on Justice League is to kind of get
well,
back,
really be about Marvel bias.
True, but sorry, I just wanted to touch on this one last thing.
Yeah, go for
it. And it kind of gets back to what you said earlier, you know, with like Wonder Woman and stuff, is like she's going around like fighting real humans for, you know, most of the movie and stuff like
that.
And
there's like dirt and horses and guns and grenades.
Yeah, and so like in Justice League, like another thing that I hope is pointing in the right direction is at the end, the post credits thing after the movie, after, you know, they fight this stupid CGI creation again, like almost all these movies, is it's Lex Luthor. He's on this boat and Deathstroke shows up to talk to him. And it's the Lex Luthor you expect to see. Like, he's bald, he's in a suit, you know, he's obviously got money. Like, it's a really cool, like, looking scene, and it's a neat setup. So it's like, yes, get back to where it's just Luthor cooking up schemes, and they've got like these more human type villains that can be fought by all the heroes, you know, get away from all this shit out in the universe. Cause the next thing that I really hope they don't do is go and have Darkseid show up or anything.
Well,
the progression.
When Justice League was a 2-part movie, which was another thing, when they started filming it, it was going to be a 2-parters back to back, and they stopped doing that halfway through, which is also exactly what happened with the original Superman. But anyway, I think it was supposed to be, Darkseid was supposed to be in it, because a lot of the stuff that was set up in like those dream sequences in Batman v Superman, like none of that actually comes to fruition.
Yeah, because the Omega symbols in there and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, so people are theorizing that the original idea was like Superman would have come back at the end of part one and been evil.
Yes.
And set up part two, but I guess we'll never know.
Which he does, when he first turns up in Justice League, he's like confused enough that he just starts attacking everybody.
He's like, oh man, did I just die last night?
Yeah, so like he, you know, attacks like all the other heroes, and they have to fight him and stuff like that. So,
oh,
like,
no, it sounds like Marvel movies where it's all about. See, that's why I think Marvel wants to buy Fox, is just so they can have new characters fighting each other.
Yeah, but it's very brief. It's like maybe 5 minutes, maybe, and then
all these characters they fight each other or they fight CGI nonsense.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to see Batman beat up a purse snatcher. Be like, I'm Batman.
Well, that's what I liked in Man of Steel, though, is, like, at least, you know, he fought General Zod, who was, like, somebody from his own world, but he was, like, human, you know, he was more human-like or whatever. I mean, he had, like, you know, these superpowers and stuff, but he was a good, like, you know, foil to Superman or whatever, you know. And there was, like, background to his story and his motivations. Like, you understood why he was doing the things he was doing. You know, whereas like in this new one, it's like, oh, here's this like Steppenwolf guy. He's after these mother box things, which, I mean, they do explain those about as well as you probably can in the time they had, but it's just not interesting, you know, like,
yeah.
You know, so it's like, just get away from that shit. And that's like the new, I haven't even seen it yet, but the new Infinity War trailer came out for the next Avengers movie or whatever. But it's like, ooh, Thanos is going to show up. It's like, who gives a fuck? Like, I don't know. He's not interesting. Like, I don't know. It's just...
Yeah, I agree.
But
that's
whatever.
Why I mean, like, you know, people shit on Iron Man 3 a lot, but the idea of like a manufactured villain is at least something different and interesting.
Yeah.
I'm just tired of big CGI monsters. Like, why can't we have like, you know, like, what's his name? Jack Nicholson, you know, throwing rubber teeth at Michael Keaton while Prince song plays. Yeah. That's what I want out of a.
And yeah, like with bias, it would be interesting. Like, it'd be.
Well,
really
we haven't talked about why do you think that happens? Why do you think that bias exists?
Oh. Yeah, I don't know if it's just the Disney thing being over it all, because I don't know, they seem to hardly be able to knock anything down that Disney does. But
I don't understand. Like, and there's also a lot of people online who seem to think it's great that Disney wants to buy 20th Century Fox.
Yeah, I don't see how that's good. People are very short-sighted. It's
aren't these the same people that like hate corporate mergers? I guess it's okay if you're in entertainment. Entertainment gets a pass.
I guess.
Think about it. Like, you're like, let's say, you know, you have like a tax bill and there's like, oh, tax rebates for the rich, and everyone complains. But then you have, okay, we're going to build a football stadium for rich people. And people are like, oh, okay. Or you have like a state. Yep. It's like, we're going to give a film company a huge tax credit. They're like, oh, it's okay. Like, yeah, maybe that's like, why. Like, if you're like, you think about like
it's fandom.
I think there's companies that are more like cults, like Apple, definitely Nintendo, and probably Marvel. So when they do the same kind of shitty things other corporations do, they get a pass, I guess, because people like them.
Well, and it's like you were talking about, you know, with like sports stadiums and things. I mean, those are very much like that. You know, people have their teams, you know, that they root for, and so that's very much like cult-like a lot of the time. And
right, so like if the state, you like, you know, handed $300 million to a random rich person, people would scream bloody murder.
Yeah.
But if they build a stadium that a bunch of millionaires can play, you know, football in, that's fine.
Yeah, and some of these owners, you know, they essentially hold cities hostage. You know, because they'll be like, well, if you don't do this, there's this other city over here that's going to build our stadium for us. So
that happens with the Super Bowl a lot too, doesn't it?
I think it happens with that a little bit, but like the Oakland Raiders, they're moving to Las Vegas in a couple of years. That's what happened there, is basically Las Vegas is like, yep, here, we'll do all this shit, whatever. And then in California, you know, they fought more over the terms and stuff, and they couldn't, you know, come to a agreement.
Well, Las Vegas probably has a lot more tax overhead than California does.
Yeah. But it's just, you see that a lot. You know, that's why most of these teams move. When they move, it's like they want a new stadium. The place where they're at's like, nah, fuck off, do it yourself. And they're like, nah, we'll go over here because this other state wants a sports team, and so they'll pay for it.
Yeah, and why do the Bucks need a new stadium? Does anyone give a shit about the Bucks?
Well, people are starting to give a shit about them now because they have like one of the best players in the league. But up until they got him, yeah, nobody gave a shit. But
I mean, the Packers were trash until Brett Favre came along.
Yeah, but
and apparently they're still trash. Like, they're basically a team full of bums with an amazing quarterback.
It's kind of what it seems like. If they had like a decent backup quarterback, they'd probably be doing all right still, but the guy that they've got is just barely called a quarterback, it seems.
I think Aaron Rodgers should get MVP this year, even though he hardly played, just because his absence has proven how good he was.
That's the thing. If he comes back and somehow gets them into the playoffs, yeah, he should get MVP, because it'll be like, here's the team without him. Here's the team with him. You know, it'll be very obvious.
That's a good point. Oh, so you're saying that could actually happen?
Well, yeah, they managed to win today, and they play Cleveland next week, which they're like the worst team in the league. So hopefully they can beat them. If they do that, they'd be 7-6, and then Rodgers, if he's medically cleared and all that, could come back the following week. So if he could run the table, they could get to 10-6, and if they can get to 10-6, it's, you know, it's still not guaranteed, but you probably a good shot you're going to get in the playoffs. Then I wouldn't put money on it happening, but it's possible.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the last time they won the Super Bowl, they got in on a wing and a prayer and then got hot at the right time. So you never know.
Yeah. But yeah, so Marvel bias, you're saying, is probably just a byproduct of Disney bias?
I think so. And I mean, it would be very interesting if you could somehow, you know, I don't know, do the Coke, Pepsi challenge, whatever thing, you know, where it's like put people that somehow have never seen any of these movies in a theater. And then take the logos off of them and show them.
and just have them taste the movie.
Yeah, and just see how they'd get reviewed. I mean, I'm not saying Marvel doesn't make good movies, but they don't make great movies, in my opinion.
I can't remember the last time I was really, really impressed with a Marvel movie. It was probably Iron Man 3, because I thought Age of Ultron was pretty meh.
That wasn't very good, yeah.
Oh, well, I like Guardians of the Galaxy 1, but I thought the second one was pretty meh.
I actually enjoyed that one. Maybe it was because I had my expectations lowered enough by because you and some other people had been like, eh, you know, it's okay. And but Civil War was really good until the third act. And then because it's like this great, like, political thriller, like kind of a 70s political thriller type movie until, like, the third act. And then it's just, a bunch of big shit in the sky, like, you know, who gives a crap again?
Well, it seems like there's like this Venn diagram at Marvel, and they're like, okay, which of our characters haven't fought each other yet? And then they're like, well, oh, Thor could fight Hulk. Okay, that's Thor 3. Yeah. It just seems like, it feels like that's how it's working. And now, if they buy Fox, it's like, oh, now it's like, now we can see Wolverine punch Iron Man or something.
Yeah.
What do you think they want, Fox? Do you think they want it so they can have the original trilogy distribution rights? Star Wars?
I think there's a lot of factors because they can buy, like, different pieces, you know, so they could buy, like, that. Because basically there's certain rights that go back to Disney eventually on that, but, like, the original Star Wars is not part of that. So, like, Fox will have that forever unless they sell it.
They own Fox.
Yeah, so, well, which that's a piece. Like, if Fox just wanted to sell things piecemeal, they could sell that piece, and then they could sell, like, the Fantastic Four piece, and they could sell the X-Men piece and stuff. Like, but it's like, yeah, I think there's a few things in there. I think it's, yeah, they want all the rights to all of Star Wars. They want X-Men. They want Fantastic Four, because then they can do whatever the hell they damn well please with all
but
the
there's enough goddamn Marvel movies. Like, why do we need more? Maybe they're kind of running out. I mean, that's another thing to think about. Like, how much longer can Robert Downey Jr. be affordable? Or, you know,
isn't it
already like over 50?
Isn't it supposedly in their roadmap that after, like, Avengers 4, basically that's when they're going to do the reset? So that's when, like, all the characters would change, but
maybe
the actors would change, but. Yeah, I don't know. It's like to me, I've kind of liked that Fox has had X-Men because, I mean, they've made a couple of duds in there, but they've also made some really damn good X-Men movies, too.
Yeah, you would never see Logan from Marvel.
I was just going to say that. There's no way in hell that movie would have been made if Disney owned
X-Men property. Everyone likes to bring up the violent Marvel Netflix shows, but those are shows, not movies.
Yep.
Like, yeah. I highly doubt they would ever make... Well, I still have never seen it, but, you know, everyone loved Deadpool.
Oh, yeah. Like... Yeah, they would never do that either. Yeah, never in a million years, because it falls under the Disney umbrella, and Disney's the family company, you know, so they can't...
Harvey Weinstein was under the Disney umbrella.
Yeah, see how that worked.
But think about it, like, Disney... They're not even as diverse as they used to be. Like, Disney used to own Miramax, Touchstone Pictures, Hollywood Pictures. So if Michael Eisner's like, I want to make an R-rated movie, he's like, okay, Pretty Woman, it's Touchstone Pictures, you know?
Yep.
Or like, Pulp Fiction was made by Disney.
Yes. But it was under Miramax. Like,
but then, of course, then they sold Miramax, and they became like the Weinstein Company. And then I don't think Hollywood Pictures or Touchstone are even in business anymore. So really all you have is Disney Disney feature animation, Pixar, Marvel, and Star Wars.
What's the God? I thought like the Pirates movie was under Touchstone, but maybe not.
Did it say Disney on it?
I thought it had a Touchstone logo on it, but I don't know. I could be wrong.
No, wouldn't that production company would have been, that would have been like Jerry Bruckheimer, right?
Yeah. So
or like the Rock, that was a Disney movie. Yeah. Armageddon was a Disney movie.
Pearl Harbor was, because that was under Buena Vista or something, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, that was the other one. Yeah. Buena Vista, Touchstone, and Hollywood.
Yeah.
And I think they're all gone. Because remember, Disney's thing now is just to make huge, huge budget movies. Like, there's nothing in between.
Yeah, they just make huge budget franchise shit, basically.
And yeah.
Pump out toys and theme parks and just generic sludge garbage crap, basically. It's like,
I think Fox is a lot more interesting. Mm-hmm. Like, you know how people, I know it's not part of the division, but they talk about how many sci-fi shows get canceled on Fox.
Yeah.
The thing is, they get greenlit in the first place.
They make them. Right? Yeah, exactly.
Yes. So, you know, like, okay, so Seth MacFarlane's Star Trek show, whatever, the Orville, you know, actually it got a second season, but I don't know how, it probably won't go that long. But so, or like, what was it? Firefly, right? So would you rather have only 13 episodes of Firefly or 0 episodes?
Yep.
Or like Arrested Development. Arrested Development was on network television. It's hard to even believe that, but it was. And it wasn't on ABC. It wasn't on CBS. It was on Fox. But even back in like the 80s when they first started out, like stuff like Married with Children was considered kind of risque when it came out.
Yeah, that was on Fox. And
The Simpsons, X-Files was huge. I mean, like, if you think about, like, the 90s, all, like, the really groundbreaking television was on Fox.
Mm-hmm.
And even now, they cancel a lot of shows, but they do greenlight stuff that's kind of different, you know?
Yeah.
It's like a little bit different.
Like, New Girl, I like that show a lot. That's on Fox. Like, out of current shows, that's probably the one I give the most shit about.
That's the one with Zooey Deschanel?
Yep.
Right.
That one's
pretty
funny.
Who is Emily Deschanel's sister? Hey, and Emily Deschanel is also on Fox. Bones,
yeah, which a lot of people like that show. So I don't know. I think it would suck if Disney bought those Fox properties personally. I mean, if they want to buy, like, the Star Wars back catalog shit, whatever. But I'd much rather, like, X-Men.
Well, you know, that means Disney would have Avatar, too.
Oh, yeah, that was the other thing I saw, because they actually have an Avatar theme park, I believe.
Yes. So yeah, they do, and it's in Disney.
Yeah, Avatar was the
And apparently it's done really well.
Yeah.
So you're thinking, like, okay, I didn't think Avatar was that great of a movie, and a lot of people were like, oh, no one's going to care about it when it finally comes out, but no, I think it'll be huge.
Yeah, it'll make a bunch of money.
Yeah.
And so yeah, it's like, but yeah, you're basically going to have Disney owning like almost everything. Like, how is that a good thing?
They'll have about half, probably about half of the movie industry will be Disney. Yeah.
And at some point they'll get broken apart, you know, like,
well, they're already the biggest studio. So you got, I think it's like Disney, Warner Brothers, Universal, Fox, Sony, and Paramount. So I mean, if you're gonna buy out anything, you'd buy out Sony or Paramount, but the thing is, there's probably nothing that they have that Disney wants.
Yeah, because they're already getting Spider-Man, which that's what the Sony had that they gave a shit about. So
see, that's the thing. Unless the Fox people really want to get out of the movie business, you would think Sony would be the studio that would get sold.
Yeah,
I would think that, because you know, that's this thing about Sony. Like, Sony has two successful divisions: PlayStation 4 and insurance, and everything else is just a drain. Like, I think did they retain the James Bond rights, or did that move Sony?
I think they still have them. I think. Because that would be like the one thing they'd have probably that anybody would give a shit about now for like on the movie side. I mean, there might be some back catalog stuff that would be good to get your hands on. But
if you think about it in a different view as well. Okay, so Universal only has two things. They have Fast and the Furious and Illumination Pictures. Oh, and Jurassic
Park shit. Yep.
Okay, so they have Jurassic Park, Fast and the Furious, and the Despicable Me movies.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Warner Brothers has Clint Eastwood movies and DC.
And it has Harry Potter, which they have Fantastic Beasts coming out, and then someday they could make new Harry Potter movies, you know.
Right, Fantastic Beasts is like not even a, it's so much smaller than Potter was. It's
it still did pretty good, but I mean, yeah, it's not up there. Potter
good.
But they have the Harry Potter rights. I mean, 10 years from now they might be like, oh, we're gonna make new Harry Potter movies, you know. Who knows?
Maybe it'd be like old Harry Potter.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, they've got like a massive, you know, back catalog of stuff. Like, I don't think anybody's back catalog rivals what Warner has.
They have MGM.
Yeah, and they've got, you know, like all the, you know, old Burton Batmans, you know, all that stuff, the tons of classic movies that people love, you know, like, but yeah, they've kind of been fumbling around with DC, and they need to get that.
Actually,
going,
they also had that Geostorm movie.
Oh, and then God, there's something that else. Thing.
Yeah, I mean, so aside from Wonder Woman, they've not had a very good year. Yeah, who the hell?
Who greenlit that Geostorm thing? Yeah. Just the name is stupid. Like,
it's like, I've never seen a movie. I've never seen a movie that just screamed "Made for China only" than Geostorm.
Yeah, because I saw that like a trailer for that at some point, and I'm like, oh my god, what the hell is this? Like, it looks like it could be a sci-fi movie or something, especially with the stupid name. You know, like, I'm just like, come on.
Well, it was a sci-fi movie.
Well, I mean, you know, the channel, but
Gerard Butler is like a brilliant satellite builder, and there's a satellite that is supposed to fix the environment or something. It can change the weather. So someone hacks the satellite to turn bad, creating a worldwide storm called a geostorm, because geo means earth. I wonder how I'm gonna see how much that made in China. I bet it made all the money in China.
Yeah, okay, I don't know. It made no money here, so it's like
it didn't really, actually not even worldwide it did that well. But let me guess. Oh my god. Okay, so foreign total, 172 million. Oof. 65 of which is China. So yeah, almost a third in one country.
It made what, like 20 or 30 here probably?
Like 33 million.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, that was directed by Dean Devlin, who was the other half of Roland Emmerich during the Independence Day.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I got to ask you something.
Okay.
I'm curious to see what you're going to say. I'm sure we're going to disagree, but I'm guessing that you watched the Tom Cruise Mummy movie.
I did.
What did you think of it?
It was okay. I wish it would
didn't
have maintained...
Didn't it seem incredibly sloppy in a lot of parts?
Yes, and I wish it would have maintained the tone it has right at the beginning. Because there's that great part where they're, like, looking down at that town. It's like him and New Girl Guy. And they're making some
New
comment.
Girl Guy.
Yeah. And the dude.
Oh,
like,
yeah, where he's like, oh, we'll get in and out, no problem. And then it cuts right to them being shot at.
Yeah, it cuts to them like in this alley, sliding into it. You know, a good action shot and like bullets flying all over the place. And you know, and then they're like running through this town and all this shit's going on. Like, it had a really good like start, and then it just kind of fumbles around a bit because again, they're trying to like set up this universe shit. You know, so they bring in like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde and stuff like that, which, I mean, it's cool seeing Russell Crowe show up and do stuff, and you get to see him and Tom Cruise fight each other and whatever, but it's like, I don't know, it doesn't hold a goddamn candle to the first Brendan Fraser one. I mean, there's no
all
doubt
I could,
about
all
that.
All I could think about when I was watching it, because, you know, that's Alex Kurtzman.
Oh yes, your favorite director.
Yes, because so after he basically got pulled off Star Trek Beyond, and then his consolation prize was the Universal Dark Universe, which apparently is dead now.
Yeah, I love that too. At the beginning of the movie, they have that they were so cocky that they have like the Dark Universe like logo come up at the beginning of the movie. Like they went to all the trouble of making that, and the thing's like dead after one movie.
Oh, the Ghostbusters 2016 had that. They had Ghost Core. That was Sony's in-house Ghostbuster movie. Again, like, you know, maybe you should wait and see if people like your movie before you, you know, sell a universe. You know, make one successful movie, like, or maybe make a good movie. You know, like Iron Man was a really good movie, you know, or Batman Begins was a good movie, you know.
Yep. Pirates of the Caribbean was a good movie, you know, like.
Yeah. So the thing I thought about, it was kind of like the Aaron Rodgers thing. And I'm like, wow, Alex Kurtzman is a really bad filmmaker. Like they have that. Did you notice that terrible continuity in the beginning where they set that rock on that dead guy? Right. Mm-hmm. And then they set the rock down and they cut to an overhead shot. And then his dead hands are right next to it. Yep. It was horrible continuity. Or like the part where those guys are drilling into the Crusader tomb in England. Right. And they've got that big wheel thing that's drilling a hole. Right.
Yep.
And so it stops, and then the workers walk through the blades to go into the chamber.
Yep.
It's like, they would never do that, because they would be like, oh, that's too dangerous, you know? It's
like, just back this thing up a bit, you know?
Actually, I was so immediately, I was mostly just bored watching it. But yes, it seemed like it was incredibly sloppily made. The other thing, I texted my friend Mike Kowalski because like, could a C-130 really fly from Iraq to England nonstop?
Oh yeah.
And he was like, yes. So I'm like, okay, good. So that made sense.
Okay, so they covered that at least. So
did you notice it was a mummy movie that did not take place in Egypt?
Yeah, which is another problem. It's like, why would you do that? Like they have it take place in England. It's like, come on.
Yeah, and then they find the mummy in Iraq. It's like, why the fuck would the Egyptians go all the way to Iraq just to bury someone? That's a fair distance.
Yeah, that's a long ways away. It's like, yeah, it's like being in Wisconsin and being like, you know, we're gonna like go over to like Ohio to like do this thing and then come back, you know.
Also, you notice like the mummy didn't really do anything.
Not a ton.
She gets tranquilized with a dart somehow. Then they tie her up. Then she gets loose. Then she makes some dust fly around London. And then she beats up Tom Cruise. That's all she does.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the reason they take it to freaking England is because of the Dark Universe shit. You know, it's like, oh, we have to set up this universe. So it's like, oh, here, we'll bring her back here. And there's this Crusader shit. And then Dr. Jekyll is, you know, investigating that, you know, doing research. And then he's got all these creatures here. And it's like, no, just make a goddamn mummy movie in Egypt.
Remember when everyone hated League of Extraordinary Gentlemen? And now it's I wish they could make a movie like that. I like League of Extraordinary Gentlemen better than the Mummy remake.
Yeah, I would agree. Like the Mummy remake. I mean, I watched it and I'm like, yeah, you know, it's all right, but it was certainly disappointing, especially for Cruise, because Cruise usually, you know, delivers the goods and makes good projects. And that one, it was just kind of like he must have got a really nice payday for this, or he must have had a gap in the schedule and was just like, yeah, sure, I'll do that, because. You know,
right.
You see Mission Impossible, you know, that's what you normally get from Tom.
Mission Impossible Mustache Protocol.
Yep. That's going to be badass that him and Cavill are going to be in that thing.
With a mustache.
Yeah, all right. It was funny, like, did you read any of the stuff where they, like, interviewed Affleck and all that? Like, it makes you so badly want to see the raw footage from that movie, because he would talk about, you know, they had to do the scenes and Cavill's there with this mustache and he was like describing it as being like this porn stash or whatever, you know. So you just like imagine like Superman being in these scenes with like this ridiculous porn stash.
They didn't like mush it down with makeup or anything? Like
Cesar Romero?
Yeah.
Nope. I guess they just let him, you know, roll with it, and then these poor fools in the effects department had to try to, like, take it out. And they said if they would have had more time, they could have done it perfectly, but, you know, they just didn't have the time. And
right. It's like, I haven't seen my family in a month because I've been painting out this damn mustache.
Like I say, when I watched the movie, I didn't really notice it, but I don't really pay attention to shit like that. So it's like, whatever. I'm like, Superman's here, he's back, he's kicking ass, this is fun. That's all I cared about. So,
yeah. Well, we've talked about Marvel bias and Justice League for an entire hour.
Nice. And why Disney shouldn't buy Fox, and why people shouldn't want them to buy Fox.
Yeah.
So
it's like, so are these same people concerned about AT&T merging with Time Warner? I would think. So
I don't know, but apparently they don't give a shit about them.
I know they go through executives like shit through a goose at those places, but don't they remember when they merged with AOL? They've forgotten that?
Yeah, apparently, yeah. Oh, the thing, God, like Disney would get Alien then too if they bought that. Like, what would they do with Alien? Because that's too, you know.
Well, maybe you know, maybe they could just own Fox, and then Fox could be like their R-rated movie.
That's true.
You know, content. Actually, yeah, Fox does make more R-rated films than other studios, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, well, shit, they even made, you know, an R-rated X-Men movie. So.
And, oh, yeah, and Deadpool.
And Deadpool, too. You know, they had the balls to do that stuff. Nobody else would have done that. So
what would a Disney Die Hard movie look like?
Oh, God, that's right. Well, it'd probably look like the last couple of Die Hard movies.
The one in Russia, Die Hard 5, that movie was just the most inert, limpest turd. It wasn't even that it was bad. It's just I've never seen a movie so inert. I can't just have you seen it?
I was just going to say, I have to watch that thing. I've never seen it because the fourth one sucked bad enough. And I was just like, I can't do this again.
But... Die Hard 5 makes Die Hard 4 look like Die Hard 3. it's so bad.
It like, always you know, it's great. Yo, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, like, I can't even describe it. You should just watch it.
I think I might have it because I want to say I bought it on Black Friday like a year or two ago for like $5 because I'm just like, someday I guess I'll do it.
It's like his, what's his face, Jai Courtney, who is like, you know, just...
Oh, God, yeah.
A waste.
Speaking of blank slates.
Well, actually, he was somewhat interesting. Well, somewhat alive in Suicide Squad. But so he is John McClane's son, right?
He had a pulse. Yep, so, okay.
He's John McClane's son. So John McClane, he goes to Russia, and he's like, I got to get my son out of a Russian prison, you know? And then, so he's in Russia to get his son out of prison because his son works for the CIA or something.
Okay.
But then throughout the whole movie, he keeps saying, I'm on vacation. So his character doesn't even know why he's in Russia.
Okay.
It's really hard to describe. There's like this scene where... near the beginning where Bruce Willis is like just standing on the street, like yelling at his son as he drives by in a car. And it just like, I don't know. It's
like,
it's
is everything
really
just kind of like disconnected? Like, does it feel kind of schizophrenic? Like, like it was like filmed three different, like a bunch of movies got filmed and then they mushed them together or something. So it's like, it's the Bruce Willis vacation movie. And then it's like some, like, I don't know, thriller movie with rescuing some guy's son or whatever. I don't know. Sounds like a mess.
I'm trying to think of everything I remember about it. He says, I'm on vacation over and over. Jai Courtney is in it. There's machine guns. They try to have like, we're just bank robbers kind of plot at the end, like the original Die Hard.
Yeah.
It takes place in Russia. There's a car chase where Bruce Willis, you know, destroys millions of dollars worth of civilians' cars in Russia, I would assume.
Nice.
He's going around like chasing the bad guys or something, but then he's like just destroying so many people's cars. I think there might be a helicopter at the end, maybe. And I think it crashes, maybe. And then, it's also like an hour and 25 minutes. It's like super short, which is never a good sign.
Yeah. Whenever I think of, like, the new Die Hard stuff, though, I always think of that episode of The Office where, like, Michael's, like, dissecting what's wrong with the new Die Hard movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He was a normal person who got his feet cut. And yep. Now he's destroying helicopters and motorcycles.
And he's 100% correct, too, like, in his assessment of it.
Oh, yeah, and then one of the guys in that episode was the son from Breaking Bad. You remember?
Oh, was it?
Yeah, you know the son who has, like, the speech impediment?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
He's one of the people in that office.
Yeah, when they're at the call center thing.
How long this stupid movie is. Well, there's a still frame of a woman unzipping her leather jacket to reveal a sexy bra. So obviously it's worth renting for that because 1 hour, 38 minutes. That's fairly short.
That's the problem. You have like these modern action movies. Like they look at these, you know, big overwrought superhero movies and they think like regular action movies need to have that. So that's why they have Bruce Willis, you know, John McClane going through Russia and having to destroy everything in his path while chasing somebody because they think that's what people want. It's like, no, people want what, like, the first three Die Hard movies were. It's like, that's what people want.
They were fairly limited in their scope.
Yeah, and the thing is...
Especially the first one.
Yeah, and it's like, Bruce Willis is, like, a cop in the United States. Like, let him keep doing that. Yeah, he gets his feet cut in the first movie. He's stuck at an airport in the second movie. You know, and in the third movie, the dude who's the brother of the guy that he took out in the first movie is, like, fucking with him. You know, it's like...
And he says, hook, line, und sinker.
They bought it. But it's like, they're just
Jeremy Irons should just be in every movie.
He's in Justice League.
And I know.
He's awesome.
And he was awesome in Dungeons and Dragons.
And he was awesome in that, too. And,
I would love to see the raw footage from Dungeons and Dragons he says, let their blood rain from the sky. You can tell he burst out laughing immediately after.
Because you can see him starting to break. And, and he holds it so long when he says it to him. He's just like, you know, like... great.
There's ever been a more amazing overacting performance than him in that movie.
Yeah, you could just tell he showed up like the first day and very quickly was just like, oh, this is what I'm involved in. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. And
the set with like the skulls like just carefully placed around the dungeon. He's like, oh, God. And of course, eyeballs everywhere.
Yep.
And he's rest
like, I'm just going to go big at every opportunity.
So yeah, maybe we should jump to one of these other topics here so our podcast isn't too long.
Oh yeah. But they did the same thing before we get on just a second, but like kind of tying into the Die Hard thing a little is like, you know, Lethal Weapon, even like long ago, they kind of did the same thing at a certain level because, you know, those started out small, but then by the fourth one, it's like, oh, we're going to have like Mel Gibson fight like Jet Li. And, you know, just all this, like, stupid shit that was just completely ridiculous, didn't fit.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's just like, let the superhero movies be that big, over-the-top shit. And then just...
Yeah, there's a rumor they might make a fifth Lethal Weapon now that Mel Gibson's out of movie jail.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to, like, if they brought... Okay, here's what they do. Get Shane Black to make that. And then...
Oh.
Yeah, gold. That would be awesome. And bring Glover back. Be great.
And he'd say, I'm really getting too old for this shit.
Because nowadays, the only way you get like a good, solid action movie is it's got to be like these lower budgeted ones like the John Wicks, like Atomic Blonde is really great.
Oh, I did watch that the other day.
Yeah, what'd you think?
Jane Wick. Yes. I didn't think it was as good as John Wick because I thought the plot was a little too confusing. But I did enjoy it. And I also liked the way they did the fight scenes, like where the characters got hurt and tired and couldn't move. I thought that was really well done.
And
it kind of reminded, it was basically Bridge of Spies meets John Wick.
Yes, that's a good way to describe that movie because it's got the Cold War shit going on because it's set in the 80s.
Yep.
And Yeah, like they actually did really long extended takes of the fight. So like that one stairwell fight sequence when she's fighting that one dude toward the end of it and they like both fall down. Like I was watching behind the scenes stuff and the director said he's like they were both like exhausted. Like that's why they're like struggling to get back up. But it's like it's great because you can feel that when you're watching the movie, you know.
Well, I guess, you know, a lot of people have said the thing, the, one of the things that works so well about John Wick is that he does his own stunts. So they're not always having to use
too.
Yes, and so they're not always having to use shaky cam and cutaways to hide the stunt double. It's actually the actor, so they can do wider shots, longer takes, more continuous action because it's they're not having to, you know, fake it or cut around the stunt double.
And the one thing I liked too in Atomic Blonde that was cool with those fights is like she didn't have endless waves of enemies to go through. Like, it was smaller numbers of, like, in that stairwell fight sequence, she fights, like, three or four people total, but it's, like, longer fights, like, as she's taking these people on. And, like, I appreciated that instead of having a bunch of just waves of, like, bullet fodder or whatever coming through a lot of these movies.
The thing that's dumb in a lot of fight scenes is you've got all these henchmen, and if the hero punches them once, they're dead. But the hero can be punched like 20 times, you know?
Yeah.
It's like the same thing in a video game. It's like one bullet will kill a Nazi, but they have to shoot you five times for some reason. So I think the fact that the fights in Atomic Blonde lasted longer, like, you know, the bad guys kept getting up or kept coming back.
Yeah.
And then that felt more realistic because it also, you know, it also made it feel more realistic that she was still going too.
Yes.
You know, it's like it shouldn't just be the super spy hero that has unending endurance. So was she a triple agent in the end? Was that what it was?
Yes, essentially. Okay. Yeah. So she was kind of playing both of the other sides throughout the movie off each other.
So what do you think about skinny John Goodman?
Oh, he was good in it. So
yeah.
Yeah,
no, I mean, what do you think about, you know, the fact that the world has a skinny John Goodman?
It's cool by me. It means we'll get to have him around a bit longer, hopefully. So, you know, that's fine by me.
And now they're making a Roseanne revival, too.
Really?
Oh, that's the new hot thing.
That was another Fox show, wasn't it? Wasn't that a Fox show, too, back in the day?
I don't remember.
I could be wrong on that.
Apparently that Fuller House thing on Netflix was one of their top things ever.
Yeah, they've made, like, what, three seasons of that now already?
90s nostalgia. That's going to be the next thing.
Yep, we've kind of milked the shit out of the 80s, so now they got to move on to the 90s.
Yeah. I called that. I don't know what podcast, but 80s nostalgia was going to be the next thing after zombies, thank God.
Yeah.
It'll be 90s next. So do you want to talk about some of these insanely cheap TVs on Black Friday? Jones and I both have 4K TVs now.
And we spent a lot of money on them. And
well,
so
you bought yours like what, two or three years later than I did, so you were
mine, what was that, March or April of this year, and so I got the OLED HDR blah 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 LG hotness. But
TV here at home doesn't have HDR.
Yeah, it's like crazy. I was at the store just yesterday, like not even Black Friday, and I was at the Walmart with my mom or whatever, and just happened to notice they had these stacks of TVs and shit, and they had like, one of them was like a 49-inch LG, like it was 4K, not OLED, obviously, but it was 4K HDR, and it was like 49 inches, $328. And then there was a 55-inch one that was like $430 or something. And I'm just like, holy crap. Like, it's just ridiculous, like, how cheap these things are now.
The price has really come down. I mean, I guess I don't regret buying one in 2014. And actually, it has some stuff about it that I like. Like, it still has analog inputs.
Oh, like, yeah.
Because I got a new Samsung for the shop, and it's only HDMI. What about your TV? What kind of inputs does it have?
Oof, I'm not sure. I mean, it obviously has HDMI all over the place. I'm not sure if it has analog and stuff. What's that?
Oh, I thought you said UFI, the Unified Extensible Firmware Interface.
It might.
Yeah.
I mean, it was new as of, like, you know, March or whatever, so it's got most of the new hotness in it, I think. And it did,
well, I guess
still
my question is,
3D, though, so...
Does it have, like, composite video or any of the older plugs?
I can't remember, because all I care about...
There are new TVs that... Right, there are new TVs that do not have composite video at all now.
Yeah, yeah.
See, I still have some of my old consoles hooked up, so I kind of like composite video. Like, I got a PC Engine CD-ROM last month.
Yeah.
And so I can play one game, because I'm an idiot.
Do they have any sort of, like, conversion things for stuff like that that you can buy?
Yeah, there's a really good one that people on YouTube use called the FrameMeister. Okay. Although it's no longer made, so there's a new good version of that, and then there's also like cheapy ones too that you can get. But yes, although it adds more lag. I mean, there's a lot of lag on modern systems. So something like Battletoads would go from being completely unplayable to totally completely unplayable and impossible.
So basically, if you want to play that, you have to emulate it on PC. Is basically the way to really play that.
Did they play test Battletoads when they made that game?
I don't know, because I never really cared for that game all that much. I remember it was, like, hyped to the nines when it came out.
So hard! It was hyped to nine!
See, I planted that seed intentionally.
So wasn't it that there was a movie called Nine, and there was also a movie called Nine, right?
Yeah, somehow in the same frickin' year, studios in Hollywood managed to make two movies called Nine, of all things.
Because the other one was like a musical from Rob Marshall, right?
Yeah, one was like, a musical, and the other one's like, what, stop motion? It's animated, I guess,
animated. I actually watched it last night. That's why I brought it up, because I saw it was on Netflix, and I was like, oh, this movie. And then I started watching it, and then I'm like, oh, this is kind of interesting, so I watched the whole thing.
Yeah, it was a decent movie, so it's better than the other nine.
It actually reminded me a lot of Horizon Zero Dawn. So it's like, I think the people that made that game may have seen this movie. Yeah. So,
I still have not played that game, but
it is the game of the year, but it will not win game of the year because of Nintendo bias. Speaking of Nintendo,
Zelda game, I suppose.
Or Mario. So we did a teardown of the Super Nintendo Mini. And it has the same motherboard and same circuit board. It's so identical, you could actually take the motherboard out of the NES Mini and put it in the SNES Mini.
Oh, really?
But remember, they were unable to manufacture enough of them last year.
Oh, yeah.
And now they're making the same circuit board. Ridiculous.
When I was at Best Buy today, and so apparently the Switch must not be the new Wii, because they actually had Switches in stock, I noticed.
It's selling really well. I mean, it doesn't matter. It'll fade away in like a year and a half.
I was wandering through the video game section, and there were a couple of them sitting there, and I'm like, oh, it's not like when the Wii came out and they were just could not be found anywhere for like months.
Yeah, maybe, you know, crazy idea. Like if you build as many consoles as people will buy, then you can sell them and get more money.
Yeah, crazy concept.
Like I don't know. I still think that thing. I'm gonna hold with it. It's just a fad. It happens every time. It's like, oh, everyone gets excited. Oh, you know, I can play Zelda, Mario, Metroid, and Smash Brothers. You know, the same goddamn games they've been making for 20 years.
Yep.
And then third party won't develop on it, and then it's done.
Because Parker bought one, right?
I think so.
If he did, I know two people that bought him then. So,
yeah.
But I don't know.
I thought Horizon Zero Dawn was really good. Like, I was playing the expansion a couple weeks ago, the DLC, which is called The Frozen Wilds. And I think it was $20 or $30. It was $20. And I was like, I'd pay more if the game was longer. Actually, you know what game really got my money's worth out of was Cuphead.
That's right. Yeah, you started playing that, I think.
I finished it. It's insanely hard, but it's not like Battletoads hard.
Okay.
If that makes any sense.
It's more like a classic Nintendo level of difficulty, yeah. Probably like from the NES, yeah. Like right. Kid Icarus or something.
Yeah. It's basically Walt Disney's Contra. That's how I would put it.
Nice.
But it's just it's a really good game. It's very, very creative. Like, I bought it because, you know, I'd heard of it, of course, because I keep track of too many things. But I was always like, oh, that looks like the kind of game that the, you know, the reviewers will love, but then no one will buy. But I was watching the YouTube videos of all the bosses, and I'm like, oh my God, this looks amazing. And I actually stopped watching the videos and just bought it off Steam so it wouldn't be ruined, you know? So I wouldn't have, like, all the cool animations and forms spoiled. But then it's also sold really well. Like, they sold like a million copies like in a week, and it was like a very small studio, but it was $20, right? So yeah. I was looking at my Steam library, and I'm like, okay, let's you know, I was looking at, oh, Tomb Raider, you've played 11 hours, Call of Duty, like all the, you know, like it's like eight to 11 hours usually for a lot of these games, and then Cuphead was like 11 or 12 hours, and I'm like, wow, so I got as much gameplay out of that for $20. Granted, a lot of it is because, you know, every
dying
boss
and
you
having
have
to yeah. try
the
over
boss,
and over
it,
again.
It is tough, but it's like, it's tough, but fair.
Yeah, it's not so. To the point where you're like, screw it. Like, you want it, you're close enough that you keep, progressing, so it keeps you hooked, basically.
Well, you know how, like, Battletoads is really hard and, like, nobody can get past the third stage? So then there's like 10 more stages after that that just get worse. Like, if you go on YouTube and look at some of the later stages, it's like, this is ridiculous. So that one's pretty cool.
I figured that game had to be doing pretty well, because I even heard some people at work talking about that game, like,
whoa,
to buy it or whatever. And the thing too is, like, like, to me, I actually look forward to games coming out that only take, like, around 8 to 10 hours to beat, because, like, my main game I play anymore is World of Warcraft, so I don't need every game to be a frickin' time sink, which seems to be what a lot of these games have been trending towards. You know, it's like, World of Warcraft's my time sink, so... Like, Tomb Raider, the next one comes out, I will buy that, because it's like, okay, it's going to take me like 10 hours to beat this. Done.
Yeah,
I
like to play a game, you know, beat it, and then move on to something else.
Yeah, because, like, I got the new Assassin's Creed game, because, I mean, it's like set in Egypt and everything, but so far I've only played like a half hour or so, and it's not that it's even like bad or anything, but I'm just like, I'm going to have to sink like a ton of time into this game, you know, because it's the big open world and there's like tons of shit to do, which, I mean, is cool, but not every game can be that. But it seems like these companies keep trying to make almost every game like a grind, you know?
Well, I think they put in like fetch quests and things because it's like a cheap way to extend the content. Because everything's like, oh, it's got to be online, or it's got to feel like an online game, or, you know, like.
Well, and you look at what they did with the Battlefront 2, where they, you know, got filleted for it, or
we
whatever.
We should probably save that. Should be another podcast. That is definitely on this podcast.
But it's just a grindy type thing, a different thing, but a grindy thing, you know. So, but yeah, we can. Like, I haven't even played that game because I'm like, I don't care. But
right.
Yeah, that would be a topic for another time. But one other thing we should touch on, maybe that could be a broader topic another time, but it's something that happened in the video game world, even though it wasn't really trumpeted much, I guess, was the Xbox One X has apparently come out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, we did a teardown of that on the show. Yeah, maybe we could save that for the next podcast, because this one's already gone kind of long.
Well, and maybe we can actually, like, play one by then or something, too, because you said you haven't even played it, right?
Well, there's really no good exclusives for the Xbox. I mean, that's the main problem they're having.
Well, they've got good exclusives, but then they've, like, screwed them over. I mean, like, Forza's good, but then they fucked that game up with the way they tried to build this grind into it. There's, like, another example. They just kind of screwed up the core of that game. And I'm somebody who's bought every Forza game. I still haven't bought that one. and there's a lot of games that have got you know, supposedly they're enhanced for Xbox One X or something. Like, I think the new Assassin's Creed is, and a bunch of these other ones. But I don't know if there's a game that came out with it, you know, to like, yeah, a launch title or whatever.
Well, remember, there's no actual exclusive PlayStation Pro or Xbox One X games yet.
Yeah, I know, I'm just saying, you know, they didn't have anything come out to be kind of the show-off game, did they? Even though it has to be backward compatible, I know. But
they didn't, but I'm saying they should. They should have exclusive games. Like, the Xbox One X is so ridiculously more powerful than the Xbox One that, yeah, you can render the games higher, but you're still going to limit yourself by being backwards compatible with the Xbox One. I mean, I've noticed this a million times. We should have a new console generation next year, actually, but we won't, because we've got these halfway consoles. That's what they're using to stretch out this current generation. Yeah. It's so weird. Like, for the longest time, it was 5 years on the head, and now it's like, oh no, the generation has to last like 8 years. And why? What changed?
Yeah, for some reason, it was like, I guess the 360, PS3, and Wii were all so successful that they just like stretched them out for a long time.
Well, that was the first generation where you had updates. You know, you could update the console. That was new.
Yeah, yeah.
You also had the largest economic crash that happened while video games existed. You know, the 2008 crash was the worst thing, because obviously video games did not exist in 1929. Yeah, people just went outside instead and, like, you know, fished. And
I would agree they should make exclusives for it at some point, but we'll see when that happens.
Like, why, you know, the big thing you see with the Xbox One X is, like, people say, why does this need to exist? But if you had a game that really took advantage of what its hardware could do, then it'd be like, oh, wow, this is really cool.
Yeah, yeah. I think they kind of screwed themselves a little with it, though, because they brought it out so quickly after, like, the One and One S or whatever, that, you know, they just got people to buy those things, and then now it's like, oh, here's a new thing to buy again. Like, I think that's kind of why they're doing it.
I was doing a talk at the Portland Retro Gaming Expo, and for some reason, Xbox One X came up, and I was like, I think this name is terrible. Because I'm like, imagine you're at GameStop and you're on the phone and someone says Xbox One S on the phone. It's like, did they say S? Did they say X? You don't know. But it turns out the guy who named it was in the audience. I found out later. So I was like, oh, no. But I'm like, nice. Oh, you know what? It's still a terrible name.
Still true. Yeah.
Because then I was like, well, you know why on pilots, they don't say 9. They say Niner, because 9 sounds like 5 if the transmission isn't very good. And S sounds a lot more like X than 9 sounds like 5. I mean, 9. So yeah, I think maybe we should close out with why we say 9 differently.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So, well, we have to say it differently because there are two different movies.
Right. So there was the number 9, which was the movie about the sock puppet robots.
Yep.
And that one you had to call 9. Because I think someone says that in the trailer.
Yeah.
The other one, which was like a musical or something, that was just 9. That was N-I-N-E.
Yeah, that was like a Daniel Day-Lewis musical that was kind of like somehow spawned off of the Fellini movie 8.5 or something. Like, I don't know, it's just a freaking... It's easily the worst thing I've ever seen Daniel Day-Lewis be in. Which apparently he's done with acting after his next movie, which makes me sad.
You're saying that 9 is better than 9?
Yes.
Great.
So you've seen the better of the two.
and it's a prequel to the Bo Derek movie 10?
I guess we'll find out, maybe. They have to make 9.5 yet. So
shared universe.
They made 9.5 weeks already, so I don't know.
Oh, but yeah, that's right. Also, I want Jar Jar Binks to come back in Star Wars.
I do too, but Disney's too big of a pussy company to do it, so.
And he'll be like all old. Remember, who was that stupid guy in Rogue One? The Forrest Whitaker guy? Remember that guy?
Oh, yeah.
He should be like that. He should be like all old and like have like a robot leg and like one of his ears is burnt off and then he's Misa back. Because he needs redemption.
Oh yeah. See, that's the thing, they're too stupid to so I called Disney stupid and I called Lucasfilm stupid. They're too stupid to understand like how awesome that would be and how quickly people would turn to liking Jar Jar if they gave him like this awesome redemption arc.
I honestly think people would love that. I really do.
I think they would too. I think they would.
Like because it's hard to explain, but I just think they would. If people have
listened to this podcast long enough, they know that a lot of times we end up being right about shit. So it's like
So last month, remember when we did our Blade Runner prediction? Remember that was like it's like, hey Jones, what can we predict in movies that will come true within 1 month? And then we predicted that Blade Runner would not do very well. Although it actually did better than I thought it would.
And we also predicted that Colin Trevorrow would leave Episode 9 and that they'd bring Abrams back. Like that was within days of that episode. Because you texted me and you're like, holy shit, like you were just like, seriously? Like,
What could we predict that could come true before the next podcast?
See, now the pressure's on, because now we...
So
now we're like, now we become like self-aware, I guess. Now we're like, shit.
It seems like no movies are coming out before Christmas except Star Wars. I mean, is there anything else big coming out?
Yeah, I think Star Wars is like it. Like, I don't think there's anything really this weekend, and then... You know, Star Wars is the only big movie, and then there'll be like Oscar bait shit that'll come out, of course. But
nothing else coming out for like what, 3 weekends, or
I don't think so. I think everybody just got the hell out of the way of Star Wars.
Is Star Wars on the 16th? I assume.
Yes.
Oh, so then they'll have that whole week. Then they'll have Christmas. Then they'll have New Year's. Of course.
Yeah, I could. See, this is how far, I know we got to wrap this up, but it's like, this is how far, like, Star Wars has fallen for me. It's like, I really don't even give a shit about seeing it opening weekend, and I even got an invite at work from one of our vendors to a private screening of it opening night, and I was like, I don't know. Like, I haven't clicked the thing to say, yep, I'll go. Like... Where it's like go back just a few years, I would have been like, oh my god, yeah, I gotta do that. And it's just, I don't know.
Some like award stuff, you know, like The Shape of Water and Margot Robbie pretending to be Tanya Harding. But other than that, Disney's re-releasing Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, really?
The new one.
And okay, well, I guess movies coming out, like The Post or whatever, and then there's...
Well, I guess... The easiest prediction for Star Wars would be it's just going to be a remake of Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, I think it'll be Empire like kind of times two, because this time you'll get to see like Kylo getting, you'll get to see the bad guy getting trained too. How exciting.
It'll just be like, it'll be like Frozen where it's like, yeah, two princesses instead of one princess.
Yeah, to me, the great surprise with that movie will be if it isn't Empire Strikes Back.
But it's going to be.
But it will be. Just like when we were going up to Force Awakens, it's like they're just going to rehash shit, and they did.
And okay, so here's a question. Is Luke going to say, no, Rey, I am your father? You think they're going to go that far?
Oh, God, I hope not.
Could it be that derivative?
I really hope they'd be smart enough not to go that stupid. But yeah, that's one thing I really don't have a good feel on, though, is like what maybe her family backstory is going to be.
Well, maybe when What's-His-Face, or no, wait, that's never mind, that doesn't make sense.
I'll see it too, but it's just, I don't know, like...
Well, but before I go see it, I'm going to write a very long blog post about how much I hate Ewoks and they ruined Return of the Jedi, and then buy 100 Porg plushies.
Yeah, that's the thing, too. I was like, like, people are all in love with that little Porg guy or whatever the hell he is. I'm like, if that thing was in the prequels, people would shit all over that thing. All freaking day long. They'd be like, railing the shit out of it. Like, oh, Lucas, all he wants to do is sell toys. See, there's another Disney bias thing right there, that fucking little Porg shit.
It's wow, like, you really hate Porgs.
I don't even really have a vendetta against them, but I saw that, and I see everybody's like, oh, they're so cute. Oh, it's so fun. Oh, they're cool. I'm like, yeah, if that was in the prequels, you would be like, that is stupid. That's Lucas just wanting to sell toys. But
I
like,
don't think they're cool.
So it's like, it's okay. It's okay, it looks like Disney wants to sell toys, apparently.
I mean, why are they cool? They remind me of like a kiwi bird. It's like, this animal should not exist. It should be dead. You know? Darwinism should have taken it out.
Yeah, it looks like some sort of like accident, you know, that happened.
They don't have arms, and then they have these stupid little chicken feet.
How has this thing survived? Like, yeah.
Well, maybe there's no natural predators, because those things come from the planet where Luke is. Mm. I hope the next movie just starts with her like holding out that lightsaber, you know, for like another 5 minutes,
another hour, then, or whatever.
Yeah, and then she's really like,
"Would you just take the fucking thing?" That's what I wanted
really
to say
long,
to Luke. Would you take this?
Silence.
She should just be like, would you take the fucking thing? I've, like, come across the galaxy to get this to you, asshole. Like,
but that's not what will happen. Like, it'll start, like, you know, already, like, you know, 3 months into the training montage or something.
But I don't know. Supposedly, it's supposed to pick right up after it. But, yeah, I'm glad you brought up the Porg thing, because I thought of that the other day when I was looking at an Entertainment Weekly and I saw that stupid thing, because I haven't watched like any shit for this, and I'm just like, God damn it, right there's a case. Like, I sat there looking at the Entertainment Weekly, I think I said it out loud, and I'm like, God damn it, if that little fucker was in the prequels, people would hate it. But it's like, no, it's in the Disney Star Wars,
yeah,
so, you know, they can do no wrong.
Were there any super cute animals in the prequels? Maybe that was their problem.
Oh, God. I don't know. Maybe there weren't. But I don't know. It does tie into that whole Disney whatever bias thing. Like, people just slurp this crap up, like, for some reason. I don't get it. Like, hold them to a standard above just, I don't know, whatever the hell their garbage standard is that they have right now.
And, you know, you can buy, like, a giant Porg. You know, have you seen those? Like, they're like,
oh, thank God. I'm going to go on Amazon right now and buy it.
They're like human-sized Porgs. Like, they're clearly, like, you know, like 50 times bigger than an actual Porg.
They're probably going to have those stupid things, like, wandering around, you know, the Disney Star Wars thing. Like, they'll have some poor schmuck that's his job, is to walk around in a goddamn, like, Porg outfit all day. You know? Somebody gets to be, like, Vader, you know, but there's going to be some schmuck who's, like, the new guy that gets to be the Porg.
I think to wrap this up, I would recommend that you Google, like, Chewbacca pushes Porg or hits Porg, because, like in the new trailer, it's like that part, you know, where the Porg's like, right? But then you see immediately after that, like, Chewie shoves him off the dashboard of the Millennium Falcon. So it's good. Porg justice. So you should look that up. I think it's in the new trailer, actually.
Chewie should have eaten him. That's what should have happened. That'd be awesome. And he's like, oh, this looks like a snack.
You see the Porg? And it hops up to Rey and, like looks at her and, like, does, like, the cute blink, and then cut to, like, it roasting on a spit on a fire.
Yeah, it would do, like, the blink like Puss in Boots does in the Shrek Disney movie where he's holding his hat, like, yep, just like that. That'd be awesome. Yeah, it's like smoking
sizzling
on a pit, like, over a fire, and then Chewbacca takes a bite out of it. Oh, that'd be awesome.
All right, well, let us know what you thought of the topics, and I guess we'll see you next month. And okay, for the record, the prediction we made is that Star Wars, what is it called, The Last Jedi, will just be a remake of Empire Strikes Back. And when it is, I will be done with the Star Wars, because I'll be like, well, I see exactly what they're doing. I'm out.
Yep. It's one of the safest predictions we've ever made, which probably means it won't play out.
Well, I hope it doesn't.
I hope it doesn't either. Yeah, I'd love it to be. I'd love to be surprised and be re-engaged with these movies, but it just doesn't feel like it's going to happen. But
like, I kind of hope Snoke is like 3 feet tall, but apparently he's 9 feet tall. So,
See, they could redeem themselves if Snoke turned out to be Jar Jar, but that won't happen. So.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you next month.
Adios.